You're listening to Type Radio. My name is Roel Wouters. Now we're talking. You're listening to Type Radio. It's June 21st, 2019. My name is Donald.
I'm Lisa.
We're in Amsterdam at the Moniker Studio, and our guest is Roel Wouters. Welcome. We have a signature first question, which is, are you religious?
No, not really. Although, yeah, no, I'm not.
What is the although?
Sorry?
What is the although when you hesitation?
No, I realize that. But that's a bit of an obvious thing. I realize that it's very easy to say no, but we also like rooted so much in the Christian Western Jewish tradition that I celebrate Christmas and I do all the things that are somehow So I see like also this sort of secularity, as we call it, that is like a real product from the Western kind of religious based world. Yeah.
And do you have rituals?
I guess I like patterns. I like the structure of the weeks and I like the structure of the days. And but not so many rituals that you could call like a sort of, that there's like some sort of you could say like a holy or spiritual meaning in that. No, not really.
But in rituals, in a way of working?
That we have very clear working structures. Yeah, we have that. Yeah. So yeah, that is how do we do? So we start most of the time. This is going to be really boring, I think. But so we always start with making a plan, making a discoverable discovery phase, and then we do like a lot of really try to stretch the period of uncertainty about what the project is going to be as long as possible. So we really try to make sure that we don't come up with an idea too fast. We really try to keep it open until we really have to. And that's basically the most interesting parts where the concepts develop and where the ideas are. And once that is, we most of the time work in phases. So once that is done, then we start the production phase. And then maybe, or just to plan a bit, and then iterate a lot. That's also what we try to do, to iterate on a product or a thing, a lot, and then it's done. Yeah.
But it's more like sort of organizing a structure for how you work.
We are quite busy with that's something different maybe. But we are busy with we work a lot with. We think and talk a lot about the structure, how we. Mm-hmm. Organize our projects and how we because these the interactive projects is always so chaotic. It's so difficult to plan. It's so different from film, for example, where you really have a clear roadmap on the steps that you have to do. And with these interactive things, these technologies, it's always unexpected where the problems are going to be. So that you have to be really you have to be able to flow.
And because you are in a way designing processes, mm-hmm. and the result of that look unexpected, but do you control the unexpected also? Are there times that you know exactly what you will encounter, or are you also surprised?
We are both. Yeah. We are we really try to sort of set clear limits, because if you have this clear limits, this clear structure, then people, they are challenged in a very precise way that also makes them enthusiastic, but it also gives them the opportunity to hack the system or to work around or to cheat, all these things, and those quite often can sort of generate surprises. But most of the time we know a little bit, we try to anticipate on the scope of possible side effects.
And you call them side effects?
Side effects, interesting thing.
Is that a Dutch cultural thing? For instance, I'm giving an example. You say in an installation that you could have made click here, and then you see, no, I'm not clicking here. If it says click here, you click somewhere else.
We really like it. if a system has the possibility to cheat, at the moment there's like really nothing that you just have to execute like a very specific test. There's no way to do it any different, then it's really boring really quickly.
No, but that eigenwijsheid, yeah, which is maybe sort of a Dutch...
I don't know if that's... But our public, our audience is not generally, not per se Dutch. I'm not sure. Although, yeah, maybe... I don't know. I have to think about the installation we made at Stedelijk Museum years ago, where we thought that a Dutch museum visitor would somehow be very willing to follow rules. If you are in a museum setting that you ask like person to do a specific thing, that they would do that. But there it appeared that people were really willing to do like the complete crazy opposite of what we anticipated on. Yeah, and then we had to implement also some moderation, which we didn't plan on.
So that was completely unexpected to the project itself.
We anticipated some, of course, some diversion from what we asked, but they just didn't care at all.
Strange.
Yeah. No, but it is. Yeah, it's so different. It sounds so simple to give somebody an instruction that will follow it, but there's like so much to it. Now, for example, we just released this Neuhaus.world. It's like an interactive video where you can. There's this 3D world where all these shapes are coming to you, and you can basically click on every moment in the video. You click on a shape, and you receive an instruction on what to photograph on this spot. And so we did lots and lots of efforts in like describing what kind of interesting questions are there. What can you photograph if you have your phone in the hand? And we knew that we couldn't make it too difficult. But people, they don't really read that. They just see the fact that they can make a photograph and they do something. So that the most of that work is just, people don't even recognize it. So, and that's just an example. And other times you have, like, for example, with another big music video kind of project, this Do Not Touch project, there are people very clearly follow these instructions. They really, like, I would say 90% of the people, they exactly do as we expect, because there's very much fun in following these rules. We also did like but there's still 30% not listening at all. But we also did like...
What do you think is that distinction? What kind of people are those that don't follow the rules?
It's really difficult.
Are those the creative ones, you can say? Or is that sort of very making it black and white?
No, I think it's not the creative one. It's also the feeling of like an... I think the feeling of being part of a group. At the moment you feel part of a crowd or a flock, then you just do what everybody else does. But if you feel there's a necessity for you to step out and somehow make a counter statement, or that's somehow triggered by somebody, or there's like another natural direction that doesn't listen, you know, if you're all walking that way and somebody says, hey, turn around, nobody does it. It's just that's where we're going. We did like a big performance called Red Follows, Yellow Follows Blue, and it was like an installation where we divided a group of people who were basically they bought a ticket to listen to an experimental music piece, and they were divided in three groups. They got hoodies, red hoodies, yellow hoodies, and blue hoodies, and they received a headset, and via this headset they would receive instructions of what to do, and that was all composited beforehand by us on three different audio tracks, and it would all simultaneously play, and people would do things. And they would receive instructions not so much on the result, on what, that didn't describe like what it should look like, but way more like they all started to mingle, like just start walking around, they all received that, and then get attached to your own group. So if you're red, then stay together with the other red people and form a group. That nobody cheated there. That was like completely 100%. And then we started giving things like, now you're repulsed by the yellow group and attracted to the blue group, and that would spark like, and that would spark like completely unexpected, or though it were expected, but it was creating a rotating shape, of course, a sort of because everybody was like, but you, yeah, and there was like not a single cheater. They were all, and afterwards we thought like they somehow, we anticipated on some sort of a critical response, like things like, why would I do what you are telling me, or like who is authority here. But people actually experienced that as very liberating. They said it was like having drugs on the festival, because they were not responsibility anymore for their own behavior. They just became part of a group, and it was more, how do you say that, ecstatic to them. Yeah.
It seems like a primal need for people to be to belong to in a bigger structure or something.
But do you see cultural differences or between, I don't know, male, female?
Yeah, that is also interesting, of course. There is for sure probably. This project, we would have loved to do that on multiple occasions, multiple audiences. We only did twice. And that was sort of similar, but it was also the similar sort of critical, creative, cultural crowd. But we have had, for example, another installation where you had to put stick. So Luna and me were like drawing big circles in a huge industrial space. And there were people who come in, they would receive a little sticker. And the only thing they could do is like stick it next to another sticker that was already on the floor. So it was kind of boring. But sometimes there were like split things. So then they could decide whether the snake would grow that direction or the other direction. And it was really funny that children, they saw the complete necessity and also the functionality of just adding a sticker. It just grew, it was beautiful. And then there were like lots of, but I don't want to generalize too much, especially in this day and age, but there were like guys, mainly guys, waiting with their sticker till the moment the snake would reach this point of where you can make a difference, and then they would quickly jump in. And
strange.
Yeah. But I don't know if that was really, it was just
those
something.
Are the decision makers.
There were the decision. And there were also like quite some other people who were that somehow maybe at that point where that was just coincidental, but there was like quite a few sort of female people who then wanted to discuss this construction with us, like why would they be forced in like a sort of reality like this. So at that point we saw like sort of that's more than differences in behavior, but really cultural.
But you can, I mean, online you could see also where different people come. I mean, you know all their.
Yeah, yeah. For example, with this project, like we did this Do Not Touch. Yeah, this Do Not Touch project. We in the beginning also show a map where are you coming from and where do you want to go, and the people can with their mouse can sort of show where they are from and where they want to go. And there we also saw a lot of, there we saw more the project traveling. So we saw like the ones, like it was launched on a blog somewhere and we saw all of a sudden like all the things coming from Africa and then of course North America and Europe. And so then we saw that, that was really nice. So we had sort of like our live Google Analytics.
Do you become a sort of voyeur into looking like, oh, they're doing, you know, like.
There is something really, that area of that our work where you somehow become the puppet master, where you can somehow decide on like how people are like sort of influence behavior. Yeah, that's really, I don't know so much what to say about that, but it's of course super intriguing and feels very powerful.
Yeah. I mean, it's like as a design studio, I'd rather say you're more like on the edge of sociology, experiment and art in a way, in between there. So I was really curious beforehand, how did you become Moniker? Were you all three of them, when Jonathan was with you, already interested in that part of the work that you do now? Or should the outcome always be design?
Wow, these are two different, really different questions. But I would say, on the first question, it's like, it was not like that when we started. But we knew that we were all fascinated by, because we were educated at the end of the 90s, and there was like really this new kind of education, like interaction design was like CD-ROMs and all these things. We could like, and it was like very optimistic idea about what the internet could be. We could share knowledge and like new ways of also democratize like our knowledge. So it was a very optimistic social, and we were very interested in what is the role of the designer in the as a position in there. And we really liked also for fun just to make things that somehow made use of that dynamic, and that we already did on a very different ways. And then we started formulating this together with Edo. This conditional design manifesto, which is basically describing the idea of you as a designer, you define a playing field where things can happen within, and the design is not so much the outcome done or the visual style. It's really about like the setting these rules and what can happen within. And of course, this is now something that lots of people do, but then we really took the effort of really trying to sort of describe that precisely and make a book with it. And so that really, I would say, informed our work from then on. That was really like a defining moment. But still, I would say, although we do a lot of these kind of participatory projects, it's really not that it's all about that. I really see that our
So it doesn't always need a form of interaction?
Not really, no.
Okay, so it's just one part of the...
No, I also wouldn't say it's only one part, but I want really to have the freedom to not be pinpointed like that. And I also really like, for example, we are also very much... yeah, especially in this moment now, we are also a bit in flux. Like, is this something then that, is that then what we do? Mm-hmm. And I really also like the sort of, for example, we made films before that were really also about different things. And I also like that kind of sort of more quick-paced projects where you can more quickly make something that is then also like something substantial.
And do you also do like traditional design work, like logos and identity?
No, we don't do that hardly ever. No, I'm also not really interested in that.
And how do you work together? Are you always working together or do you work apart?
In the beginning, with the three of us, we did everything together. Yeah. And it was a sort of like, it quickly became some sort of nightmare because everybody wanted to say something about everything and it was like not working. And over the years, we developed that we really take on projects as project leader. So, or Luna does a project or me or in the time Jonathan. And then sometimes we worked in teams, so we really did it together. But now lately we really enjoy like having like, we just run a project, but that's more at the moment that we come in a productional phase. Before that, like when we're developing, then we really do together. Then we try to, and sometimes there's like an idea already developed a bit, but then we really enjoy each other's critical reflection. Also because we have different ways of looking at it.
And does it happen a lot that technology sort of limits you in what you have in mind for a project?
Yeah. Ideally, and that's also why we miss Jonathan, for example, is that this technology really informs the concept. So it's not like this that you have an idea and then you look for the technology that goes with it and see all these limitations. But quite often it happened like this that basically the play with the technology itself revealed a certain dynamic and then we applied a concept on top of that. Mm-hmm. Then it sort of started talking back. And we still do that, but we now need to do that way more disciplined because it doesn't come as natural as it is now. But we have crazy good developers, but that is different than, Luna and me are both not programmers. So that's different.
But it's just a question of time that...
Yeah, exactly.
You both teach?
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
But do you teach separately? And what is it that you try to pass on to your students? What is important for you?
Yeah, we don't teach now, and we don't teach regularly, but we do a lot of workshops. Or a lot, not even a lot, but every now and then we do workshops, and we really enjoy that. And for myself personally, it was like an... when I started teaching, and it's like maybe 15 years ago, I really enjoyed like doing together with the students, trying to discover like something new. And then I was basically standing next to them and we would really like talk and debate like about things that we didn't get, or so there was like a sort of common interest in like the topics. And then how it evolved was that more and more I had the feeling that I had a certain agenda and I wanted to teach something to them. And from then on it became a bit boring, the whole thing, because they also want to do different things, and it was just wasn't as good anymore as it was in the beginning. And some people,
when you say agenda, like you wanted them to do what you wanted them
to. Yeah, exactly. I thought certain things you just learn or know, you know. Like a sort of, you could say like a sort of senior teacher that then I want to sort of bring across a certain amount of knowledge. And that is, in the end, that didn't really bring me so much anymore. I also not like, but now slowly I really feel like teaching again, also because I really interested in what they are interested in. That I really feel that is, there are lots of topics that I don't know so much about. And there's like a whole new generation with a whole new agenda, new also view at the world. So from January on, I'm going to, first Luna and me are going to do a workshop in the KBK in The Hague. And then after that, I will teach for one semester together with Job at the Playlab. And we don't know yet what we are going to do, but I'm very much looking forward to that.
Yeah. Because you've done some projects with Job in the past. Because I do remember that spray can robot,
for example. Spray thing. Yeah, we made like quite some films together. Yeah, and also
Do
flyers.
You still work with him? No. Or so this is going to be the first time after a long time?
Yeah. But this, of course, teaching some. I'm very curious how, because we also developed so differently. And at the beginning of our careers, we were, of course, way closer to, then everything was a bit more undefined, of course. And I remember that we were starting to make flyers that we were just hand roll. And that was at that moment, that was kind of because we, like, Illustrator was there and everybody was doing with InDesign and like all the new technology and everything looked like super vector by a base. And all of a sudden I thought, yeah, but it's also nice if you just draw something that's quirky. And we, and that was then, we thought we'd do that for one flyer, or that was just like an idea, and then we move on to the next one. And then, that is, of course, and for Job, that became, I don't know if it's that, maybe it was there anyway, but he always drew a lot. It was really in his practice already, but that became his whole path. And for me, that is, in a different way, it's also like the relation between technology and a sort of a human aspect. Like, how do you use technology to create or show something that is like inherently human? That's also what I, that's actually a kind of important topic for me, that I really hate it if people see our work as sort of super techno-optimistic, or, you know, like, or net, like, it's never about technology, really. It's always about technology as a means to show something about human behavior, or like human relationships, or something else in the world. So it's never about the technology really itself.
Sorry, one second to go back to you. Are you critical to each other's work with your brother?
Me and Job?
Yeah.
I think we... No.
Do you ever discuss each other's work? Like, what do you think, or are you...
We used to do that a lot. Yeah. We also used to make flyers a lot, so then we were debating a lot. But now, lately, not really. No, I think there's like a lot of admiration also for each other. It's like such a different world. There's like, you could say, like, he really dived into craftsmanship. He really made, like, he is also, he's not really drawing, but even his drawings are somehow a letter form, you know. They become really part of his tool set before he makes it. So he's now totally into what's it called, octopus.
And fish was and before fishes. That
so he's just, and he draws like the Chinese draw, like on their faces, like thousands of these things, so they become part of his muscle memory. And that is, like, I think is the ultimate craftsmanship, whereas in my work it's really way more, it's not about it's about a different kind of craftsmanship, but it is way more about, it's way more about how to somehow show how basically really the other opposite of the spectrum, where it's really about like creating a technology where you can somehow show something very human. And
as an outsider, for me it's very similar. Yeah. I mean, it is you also have a craftsmanship. You're using different tools. Of course, the end expression is different, but you have to be equally obsessed and re-looking and rethinking to create the results that you are looking for.
Yeah, that's true. We both have.
Yeah, like, I mean, maybe your process is not so as visible, but it is still crafting.
But I think maybe what another difference is that Job is really like, he feels really safe and secure in his. Maybe not always. I don't know so much about it actually, but I have the impression that he feels really safe and secure within his territory. That's a bit of an assumption, though. And I think that for me, I'm always way more restless, and I always want to sort of find out new stuff about, like. And also, I'm really like eager to do things that I don't know anything about. I'm really like an amateur in lots of things. And then of course there's also this speciality where we just discussed and like this really sort of getting into this topic, but. Besides that, I'm really like, I start new sports every whatever, or I do like a new, and I have a boat that I really obviously want to understand how the motor works. And I think that is also something, I'm like way more restless and impatient also. And he has that really this, he likes fishing and he likes drawing, and he just does that. And he does that really focused. And I can really admire that he gets so, that's also maybe what I mean with craftsmanship. It's really in the muscle memory. It's really he works it through to the very, very end. And for me, it's more if I sort of understand it, then it's already sort of
I you move get on. Bored.
I get bored.
You
yeah.
move on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that also you are more into the realm of a democratic design process? You sort of throw a rock in the pond and see what happens, you know,
yeah,
see how it develops.
Yeah, yeah, there's like this sort of uncertainty built in, you could
yeah.
say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's also a weird form of control.
Of course, yeah,
but
yeah.
yeah.
You're very generalizing and
yeah.
And do you ever think of failure or do you that's something part of the process? Like do you enjoy that also?
Well, that's super. There's like so many levels of failure.
Yeah, like,
but,
you know,
yeah,
like
when does it fail?
Yeah, I know, but is it okay? You know,
I like mean, I can say if I know that it will be a success, then it's most of the time boring. So there's always something at stake.
No, but for example, we just had an interview that there was just no room for failure. That was just not possible in their approach to work. So I'm just curious.
It's also something that Luna and me discuss a lot. And I, yeah, it's also, we did like so many of these projects and then for me, it's really hard to, on some aspects of this project, to fail. I really want to do that really good. And that also makes it sometimes a bit like, difficult. Mm. And on the other hand, Luna is really like, she's really way better at failing. At some areas, she likes to take more risks and also willing to. But I think that we have different sort of different moments of the process and different emphases where we somehow want to need security or need like excitement, new areas. There's also like this wish to sort of because we have been doing this participatory stuff so much. There's also in me a big will to somehow discover other areas, and that is then also something we discuss a lot, and that we look also upon differently sometimes.
Yeah, I'm curious about technology and. Are you looking into the future, like the things that are not possible right now, the moment which will be possible or might possibly be possible in the future,
yeah.
that you think, oh, if that is possible, then...
Then we can make this and this and this.
Yeah.
No, sometimes there's technologies that you are sort of very curious about what it's going to do, but most of the time we are quite skeptical about like the new... like technology as a phenomenon. Most of the time it's not really adding something. But then once it's there and it's in the hand of all these people, then you see things changing, you see people behaving in a certain way, and then all of a sudden there's like lots of substance to do something with that. So I think, to be honest, it's way more reflective than visionary.
Coming up to the next is like is there a dream project that you guys would like to do?
Well, that we have like, I would really like to make a film, like a more linear film once. And that's also something that Luna likes to do as well. So that's really a different direction. So that is something we're also sort of trying to steer towards a bit, or maybe sort of renegotiate the status of the studio. So that is something.
And when you say film, I mean film can be a lot of the. I mean,
yeah, that can
you
be.
You mean romance?
No, I don't know exactly. So yeah, we have discussed different ways of developing something. And so if you talk about systems and how to then we are like all the time like discussing, okay, how do we come to a manuscript that somehow is like that suits our. So that's basically also why that is a difficult question, because we don't know yet. Really, it's really it's like sort of a gut feeling. It's very also very precious. At least, like, we're not super secure about it as well. But so, last year I went to France to write the scenario. It's hilarious because then I was like in France there. I thought, okay, now I have the space and I do it. And it was so stupid. It was like so nothing happening and everything felt like super like important and to do. And I thought, oh, this is so pathetic. Let's go back and just.
You put a little too much pressure.
Yeah. It was totally stupid. But on the other hand,
I'm going to France and I have that is every cliche you can find.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but at the same time, it was not really about France then. But I thought, okay, I cannot do that here because there's always so much things going on and we have like so many so I just needed the space, and then I happened to know so many friends, so it wasn't really about friends, but it was a bit like that. It felt
last question. How would you like to be remembered?
I think what I really hope that people see and do if they look at our studio is that I think there's like this you could say this optimism that started in the late 90s when the web was really developing and we somehow could saw this world where we could have like a sincere exchange or more democratic system in the world. That somehow was really that happened with like all these big tech companies that really turned out differently than we thought. And we sometimes feel that we are one of the few ones that really used the web and web technology as that was like then envisioned. And I would hope there would be like a new renaissance of that kind of thought. That you really, because it's kind of magical that there's all these computers, they're all networked, and we have all the tools and all the things that combine and interact with these things, and we do so little sort of truly emancipating or like things that bring us a bit further that is not directly connected to consuming or like a business model. And I would really like to be, it would be really nice if some other studios also felt like there's a space for to develop in that kind of direction.
Thank you.
Thank you.